Now the talk of the nation opinion page. President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court has been accused of racism for comments she made about a wise Latina woman reaching a better conclusion than a white male who has not lived her life. Some argue the president chose Judge Sonia Sotomayor because of her ethnicity, her family's from Puerto Rico, or her gender, and not just her qualifications. In other words, we're talking about identity politics. In his column yesterday in the Miami Herald, Leonard Pitts argued, "I'm not at all convinced that's a bad thing, particularly where the high court is concerned. Race and gender have never been absent from decisions about who sits on the court," he wrote. And he added, "That's a point so blazingly obvious, even needs-making speaks to the myopia affecting many white people when the subject is race." Does a Supreme Court nominee's ethnicity or gender matter? If so, why? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Just click on Talk of the Nation. Leonard Pitts joins us now from his home in Maryland, and nice to have you back on the program.
It's good to be here.
And you wrote, "It is a stark illustration of white and male privilege, in this case, the privilege of questioning the role someone's identity plays in their promotion only when that identity diverges from the perceived norm, i.e., yours."
Mm-hmm. Well, the point that I was making was that there were no discussions of race and gender identity for the 108 out of the previous 112 Supreme Court justices who were white and male. And that, you know, that predominance is not an accident. That predominance is intentional and very much a, you know, a product of gender politics, if you want, or identity politics, I guess, if you want to call it that. But it was never perceived as such because it was reflecting, you know, those who were perceived as, quote unquote, the norm, white and male.
And the case you pointed out was, essentially the Jim Crow decision more than 100 years ago.
Yeah, the point that I was trying to make was that for as much as we would like to say that, you know, being a judge or being a justice is all about interpreting the law and using logic and bringing, you know, the proper precedent to bear, there's also a place in there for interpretation. And the way that you interpret not just the law, but pretty much anything in your life says a lot about, you know, who you are, your gender, where you're from, your age, your generation, race, all of that stuff plays a role. So I think that having a Supreme Court that has the broadest range of people to pull from, not just ethnically and gender-wise, but in a lot of other ways, helps us to guarantee that we're going to have, you know, better deliberations, better decisions. The court case that you referenced that I mentioned was the 1896, I believe it was, case Plessy versus Ferguson that codified segregation in this country in violation of the 14th Amendment. It took the court, you know, took the white men of the court 58 years to reverse that and to get it right. And I would argue that had there been a few African Americans or people of whatever color on the court in 1896, perhaps that decision would not have gone into history.
And we saw similarly just recently the case that came up before the Supreme Court involving the body search of a 13-year-old girl in a public school, people looking for illicit drugs. We saw Judge Ginsburg looking askance at her male colleagues in that situation and suggesting that, yes, it is really different when you're talking about strip searching a 13-year-old girl or even as opposed to a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, I think the justices were debating how invasive it was or was not. And the thing that they had, you know, the elephant in the room, the thing that they had failed to understand was that they, as male justices, having never been a 13-year-old girl, had no basis upon which to judge how invasive that's going to be. There was only one justice in the room who had at one point been a 13-year-old girl who could speak to that.
And yet there is also the question of the way that Judge Sotomayor, and I think everybody probably in the world and perhaps in this section of the galaxy has heard that clip of tape by now when she talks about, "I would like to think that a wise Latina woman would come to better conclusions having lived her life than perhaps some of the white men on the court." And as you know, there have been some people saying, I don't appreciate Judge Sotomayor telling me that on the basis of her life experiences, she's better than me.
Yeah, I think, and I have not read the whole speech, although I've read excerpts from it, and what I take from that is that she probably misspoke or spoke inelegantly or spoke awkwardly. As I understand it, the point that she was trying to make, and I don't know that she necessarily got there, was that, again, I guess basically the same point that I made, that having a variety of life experiences on a panel or on a court gives you the opportunity to avoid making perhaps some pretty bad decisions. The way that she actually phrased it, you know, a wise Latina would, I would hope, would make better decisions essentially than a white man who has not lived that life, really sort of works at counter purposes with what I think she was trying to say. And I'm hoping, you know, I think that's fair game. If that's brought up by the Judiciary Committee, I think it's fair game for somebody to ask her about it. And I would hope that she's able to answer it, or just to say, you know what, I goofed. At the same time, though, I have to say that a lot of the comment that has surrounded that, particularly from Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh, I think it was Mr. Limbaugh who compared her to David Duke of the Ku Klux Klan, is really, really overblown. She's not David Duke. Based on that comment, she's not David Duke, nor is she even Don Imus. She's somebody who put their foot in their mouth, which is a pretty, you know, much of a job hazard in her, or for that matter, our line of work.
And thank goodness former Speaker Gingrich has never done that. the other quote that was mentioned yesterday came up on Meet the Press was Sam Alito, when he was at his hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and saying, as the child of immigrants, when I think of the discrimination that we faced in my family, and yes, that plays a part. That's part of my life experience, and it does play a role.
Yeah, and again, I guess the same people didn't make those comments when Justice Alito was up for his nomination. I mean, I understand what we're talking about. We're talking about, at least they're talking about, politics. I would prefer, you know, not to be talking about politics. I'd prefer that we were talking about, you know, what's going to make the best and the broadest and the most diverse Supreme Court to make, you know, decisions for the rest of us as a country. One of the lines in the column says that, you know, it is a good thing if the people who are going to be making decisions that shape the country look a little bit like the country. And I don't know where anybody would find controversy with that.
We're talking today on the Opinion Page with Leonard Pitts, a syndicated columnist whose columns appear in the Miami Herald and many other newspapers around the country. If you'd like to get in the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And why don't we go to the phones? And Brian's on the line. Brian calling from Birmingham, Alabama.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
Hi.
What I was saying is that I grew up a child of privilege. In fact, I'm the son of a judge, and I think a female who grew up with many, many more life experiences than I would be more capable making decisions from the bench.
More capable.
So absolutely.
I don't know. If I can just disagree, I'll split a hair a little bit here. I don't even know that it's many more life experiences, because you've had life experiences coming from privilege. You just had different life experiences. So there's things that you've seen that she doesn't know. Just as there's things that you've seen that she's seen that you don't know. And the best judgment doesn't belong to her or to you. The best judgment comes to the two of you, you know, putting your heads together and saying, okay, I know this, you know that. Can we put it together and build, you know, some kind of larger truth?
That's why a diverse court would be a good idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Brian, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Right.
Let's see if we can go next to Bill. And Bill's with us from Stockton, California.
Hello there.
Hi there.
It's amazing. I was just thinking about the youth of my years. And back in the 70s, I found myself in Birmingham, which was a very different place than California. And when I spoke to my grandfather one day and told him I was in Birmingham, he called it a rather primitive place. The point being that everywhere we go in this country, everyone does, as was just said a few minutes ago, has a different set of experiences, neither better nor worse, it's just different. And if everybody looks at the world through the same set of eyes, then we end up with a rather monochrome universe. And who wants to go back to black and white TV, especially in today's HD world? Being able to have a justice that has an experience which is not the norm, as Thurgood Marshall did not grow up a child of privilege, so it is with Sotomayor, or however it's pronounced, my apologies. But the point is that we all live different lives, and we all live different experiences. At this moment, I'm standing here, a white 50-year-old male, getting my lunch from a taco truck on a very busy street in a urban community.
Well,
So it should also be, you know, with our law. Not everything should be the same. We shouldn't all go to the Olive Garden or to the Red Lobster and eat our dinners. Likewise, we shouldn't depend on absolute sameness in perspective from the law.
Okay, Bill.
I would just say in response that I've heard it said that if you and I come from the same place and believe the same things and say the same things, and one of us is superfluous, one of us is not needed. So I would just second what the caller said.
Here's an email. This from Mark, who writes, is your guest, Leonard Pitts, insinuating that Judge Sotomayor should be nominated to make up for past discrimination? Is he suggesting this is a proper use of discrimination, that it is compensatory discrimination?
I don't think it's compensatory or making up for past discrimination at all. I think it's, as I've said, a matter of making a more perfect court. I don't know how you can make up for or redress, or however you want to put it, the fact that the first 112 justices of the U.S. Supreme Court were white male. That's a fact of history. It will always be a fact of history. So there's not a whole lot that you can do about that. What you can do is try to create a more diverse court and take the strengths that come from that more diverse court, and perhaps have some rulings that don't have some of the errors and some of the failings in them that some of the past rulings have had. And that's not to say that every ruling that came from those 112 jurists was a failure, obviously not, but it is to say that there were key moments in American history. The 1896 Plessy versus Ferguson is, for me, the neon moment, where because they were all white and male, they did not have the background, they did not have the life experience, they did not have the whatever to properly interpret what was before them and do what was right by history.
Leonard Pitts is the Miami Herald columnist, a nationally syndicated author of a new novel called Before I Forget. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Nelson. I don't think anyone's saying that race and life experience won't affect a judge perceptions and rulings. The issue is the fact that Judge Sotomayor hopes a wise Latina woman would come to a better decision than a white male would, not just a different decision. That statement is undeniably racist, the writer continues, because it says one race would reach a better decision because of that race. To have a person who believes such nonsense on our highest court is a great concern. Had the statement been made by a white male saying a white male would come to a better decision than a Latina woman, you'd better believe there'd be an uproar even greater than what we're seeing now.
Well, again, I'm hesitant to judge one woman as a racist based on one statement some years back, which has been disavowed by her handlers at the White House, and I'm reasonably certain will be disavowed by her when she stands before the Judiciary Committee. And, you know, I've tried to be consistent in this with Don Imus. It took Don Imus many moons of bad statements before I came out against him with the furor over the basketball team some years ago. I believe that everybody, you know, if you dig deeply enough, and particularly people who speak for a living or write for a living, you dig deeply enough and take enough out of context, you're going to come up with something somebody said that's dumb that they're going to wish they hadn't said. And I choose to give Sonia Sotomayor that deference on this remark. If we come up with a history of comments like that, that's another thing.
Now let's go to Rachel. Rachel with us from Carmichael in California.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
My great uncle, Ernest Oppen, as a white graduate student at Howard University in the late 1940s, participated in the first round of lunch counter sit-ins, was arrested and bailed out of jail by Thurgood Marshall, who told him he appreciated what he was doing, but he would never understand what it was to be black, which first offended my uncle, but later, when he was coming home from a fancy dinner with his girlfriend, who was a banker's daughter, my uncle realized that Thurgood Marshall would not have been allowed into the restaurant where he just ate. And that although he could pick up the cause of civil rights, he didn't have to live with discrimination day after day because of who he was. And so I think that speaks to the fact that your experience does give you a different insight.
And I think, Leonard Pitts, that's exactly the kind of distinction you're talking about here.
Yeah, that's the argument that I've been making. And again, as I said in the column, I'm not here to endorse or to condemn Sonia Sotomayor. We'll find out more about her as the process rolls out. What I'm here to say is that when we have people of differing backgrounds, we have differing perspectives brought to brought to the cause of judgment and of justice. And I think that's a net good. I think that's unalterably a net good.
Rachel, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Do you think she owes us an explanation or an apology for her earlier remark that we talked about, the wise Latina woman?
Well, I think she owes us an explanation. I'm not at all convinced that what she did, that her comment was any more than a misspeaking. If she meant the words as they have been interpreted, then she owes us not just an explanation, but I'd say that she's probably not fit for the court. You know, frankly, if the words are what the words seem to be, or if she meant it as it came out. But again, I think there's kind of a large leap between, somebody possibly saying something that didn't come out properly and judging that person as the next incarnation of David Duke. That's something I'm not willing to do. If she goes into the Judiciary Committee and says, no, I believe that a wise Latina woman is a superior judge of the law to a white man, then I think that she needs to find the door and use it.
Leonard Pitts, thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Leonard Pitts, a syndicated columnist for the Miami Herald. His latest is titled, It's Good to Be Able to Relate to Others. And as we mentioned, his new novel is titled Before I Forget. Tomorrow, amid a sea of weight loss, what really works? Plus the guys from The Deadliest Catch. Join us for all that tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.